The following shiur is being recorded for TorahDownloads.com, a project of the Yehuda Mann Foundation, Le'ilui Nishmas Yehuda Aryeh ben Yoshua Yakir.
We spoke last time. We spoke about four or so different aspects of Avodas Hashem of a person who is not, whose life is not Shevet Levi mode. I want to go over some of the points a little bit more, with some more emphasis, some more detail. The first one we spoke about, that the job a person does in this world is of importance. It adds to the world. I'm talking about a very physical level, simple level. A person does things that add to the world and so on, and they're important as such. I want to bring a chazal. It's a Medrash Rabbah, Breishis Rabbah, Lamed Tes Ches. Amar Reb Levi, B'shor she'Avrom mehalech b'Aram Narayim u'b'Aram Nochor, Avrom Avinu, it says, was going v'yavar Avrom b'Aretz ad mekom Shechem ad Elon Morev v'yer Hashem al Avrom. So he was going someplace, and at a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. So it says, B'shor she'Avrom mehalech b'Aram Narayim b'Aram Nochor, ro'isem oichlim v'shoisem v'peichsim. He saw them eating, drinking, and merrymaking, doing nothing. Amma, he said, Halavai lo yeheli chelek baretz hazois. I don't want to have any part of this. It's not where I want to be. V'kibin she'igil l'sulom ha'shol tzur. Royce, when he came to Sulom ha'shol tzur, is the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. So when he saw the Sulom ha'shol tzur, Royce'an asukim b'nikush b'sa'as ha'nikush, they were weeding the fields whenever you needed to weed the fields. They were be'idud b'shasa idur. They were plowing. Amay said, halavei echal kibaretz hazois. I want this to be the place where my share is. Amay kashbar zach nesaretz hazois. So this is where I want my dwelling to be, and this is what I want should be my chelik. Certainly, there are many deeper pshatim in the Medrash, but the deeper pshatim are all simply ramifications of the basic pshat. The basic pshat is people that don't do anything productive with their lives are not good people. Being osek in yeshuva shel olam at a certain level, even at the most basic level, is very, very positive. Not being osek in yeshuva shel olam is not good. You find in a lot of chazal, mai melachtecha, mal nasecha. When you met a person, he was asked, what is your umnas, what's your melacha? And he would answer, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm a roi bakar, I'm a sandler, I'm so on and so forth. I don't mean to use this chazal like people say about against someone who's made Shevet Levi his isuk. Certainly that's the most noble of asukim. But what you're accomplishing in the world at the most basic level is important. Do these have bigger meanings, that the person who said that his malach is doing X or Y or Z means something deeper than that? That's true. But the deeper is not on the cheshmet of pshat. And a person needs to ask himself, is he adding, is his work and what he's doing productive or not? But derech klal, you will find the type of people that are looking for easy money and non-productive occupation are pochsim. It's not a healthy society, it's not a good society. People that don't understand the fact that their labor adds to the world. Their skill, their knowledge, their labor. If there's a sense that I'm trying to get way too much leverage for what I'm putting in, it's not a sign of a good person. It's a sign of a poches, and the person who is asukim b'nikush b'sasa nikush b'idur b'sasa idur is very positive. So that's, I wanted to sort of supplement to the first point we made about the person finding an occupation that it can generally be satisfied that the occupation is it's a positive occupation. And business is very positive. But again, a person needs to understand himself, am I somehow gaming the process and sort of milking the cow for a lot more than the grass and the water I've given it? Or is it the person is putting in real work, accomplishing something, and his rewards can be very big? I mean, business can have rewards, but it's built on top of something that a person is accomplishing. That's one point that I want to refer to. The second point is a point that needs a lot of elaboration, is about the learning while you're working. One of the questions on the sheet was, how should a person who's not also taking Torah full-time, how should you set up a Seder Yom to learn? That is a very, very tough question to answer. First of all, because the answer comes in a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. Let's first give ourselves general kolalim. There are going to be things that we have to learn, and there are going to be things that if we learn them, we will keep those starim. In other words, when the question is what to learn, how to learn, what to learn, the answer is going to come from two sides. One is what is absolutely necessary to learn, and the second question is going to be what is going to keep you the most in learning, because it's a hard day, there's a lot of competition for a person's attention, time, alertness, and so on, and if the learning is not going to have a strong a self-reinforcing value to it, it's not going to work. So let's touch on one, two, three things that are necessities, and then we're going to speak about what are approaches that will help reinforce the personal learning he's doing. Okay, what is absolutely necessary? So I would put down two things. First of all, halacha lemaisa. Not only because you have to know what to do today, pretty much everybody does, you know, there's a pattern what to do, there's plenty of guidebooks, handbooks, and so on. But the truth is, what happens if a person does not learn halacha is, he begins to be mezalzel in the halacha. It's like Rabbanim always come with new chumras. You turn to any from quote unquote from blog, and there's always somebody such and such rav came up with a chumra. Oh, why do you always have to dig up chumras when it happens, so on and so forth? The zilzel comes a lot because the more you're out of it, the less you realize what the halacha really is, and where the person is coming from. The respect for the system requires that you learn it. A lot of things a person will not do simply because he's an Amoritz. There are things a person doesn't know and he is going to be over on it. And therefore, a person needs to learn halacha l'maisa. The real problem is, what sefer is going to learn halacha l'maisa? Let's go through them. The Mishnah Brura is the most halacha l'maisa sefer, the general psak of Mishnah Brura, and it's the most unwieldy of the sefarim to learn for the following reasons. The Shulchan Aruch himself is not a sefer that's really learnable on its own. The reason is because the Shulchan Aruch was meant to be sort of a mafteach in a sense. The Tur wrote a comprehensive work. The Beis Yosef added and really made it comprehensive. The Tur was a comprehensive outline, I would say, and the Beis Yosef fills in whatever was there. And then the Beis Yosef said, you know what? This is not going to work for a Rav who's busy between his unveilings and his bar mitzvahs and bas mitzvahs, and they had it all in those days, but whatever it is that he was busy doing, I'm going to bring out the psakim that I have, combine the Torah and the Beis Yosef and bring the bottom lines of different places. So a lot of times the siman is not in logical order. There are no explanations given to it. You don't know what he's talking about, where he's talking about, when he's talking about. And b'meila, it's really very, very difficult to learn it. And the Mishnah Brura is a pirush on that. So Mishnah Brura might even tell you things that are not l'alacha because he's saving his l'alacha for the next piece. And it's basically a commentary. You have to go through the Mishnah Brura and figure out, construct the halacha l'maisa. So that is a difficult one. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is an easy, straightforward sefer. The problem is twofold. For some reason, there are some areas that he seems to be very, very short on information. Like Hilchos Shabbos is quite sparse in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Secondly, he went with the Menhagim of Hungary and the Pesachim that were current in Hungary when he wrote it. It's a very, very nice. You certainly don't run the risk of going to Gehenna if you follow Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but it's not what you should be following. It's not your Menhagim, it's Menhagim of Hungary. And again, it's sort of in the even. There's some places that have real gaps and so on. Chaya Adam was considered a classic halacha sefer by the Litvisha, was learned like Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was learned by the Hungarians. The problem with the Chaya Adam is that the language is difficult. He's really sort of less, he's his own psakim, and they're very mekubal and so on and so forth. Some people have been very enamored of the Aruch HaShulchan. The main reason, I think, is sort of a political worldview type of reason. The sweeping historians, especially like modern Orthodox, set up the previous generations as being Rabbanim versus Rosh Hashivas. Rosh Hashivas unfairly pulling the rug from under the Rabbanim. The paradigm of great Rosh Hashivas was the Chavetz Chaim. The paradigm of great Rabbanim was the Aruch HaShulchan. Rabbanim tend to be mekel because they need to be practical. Rashivas tend to be machmer. And they made it sort of a tzimis l'shitasei, and that's why the Aruch HaShulchan is preferred to over the Mishneh Berurah. Another reason why people like the Aruch HaShulchan is because he starts out with a kitzer. He sort of does give an overview to Allah in the beginning. The problem is that the Aruch HaShulchan is written as a very private sefer. Once he gives that overview, he has his own shtikach Torah. They're nice, they're fine, but there is his own shtikach Torah in a way that the Mishneh Berurah is not. They are the Aruch HaShulchan. And it's very clear. He starts out with a general overview, which is very nice, and then he just sort of proceeds into a kind of his chidushim on particular points. So the real problem is there are not easy halacha l'maaseh sfarim to learn. Is there something I could suggest? What you could do is, if you'd learned the Nefesh Berurah when you were younger and sort of had time to understand each simon and to go through it a bit, then you could then learn it. It's much easier. If you know the background, the information, and so on, it's much easier. If not, I really don't know. The simplest one is Kitzur Shulchan Aruch with Piskei Mishneh Berurah. So at least over there, you get Piskei Mishneh Berurah on the bottom. On some inyanim, you have random sfarim. You'll have something on kashrus, and you'll have something on nida, and you have something on brachas, and you have something on Shabbos. Some of them are quite good, the kitzurim. But once again, you're not talking about the works that you can actually say this is a major work. Ideally would be if a person can learn some of the sugyas and then go through the Mishneh Berurah. I don't know, I'm just pointing out it's a hard one. It's not, you need to have some sort of kavod halacha seder. You have to find some sort of safer for it. All of the sfarim that I know have some issues with learning it. I wish I had a simple answer to propose. The best thing is when you're in yeshiva, if you'd spend a little time, if you've gone through some of the masechtas that the Mishneh Berurah deals with, so that the inyanim are familiar, then the Mishneh Berurah becomes a fairly easy sefer. If you do learn the Mishneh Berurah, then what you must absolutely do is, when you finish a simon, you must go back and sort of outline the halacha l'maaseh that come out of the Shulchan Aruch with the Mishneh Berurah. Because if you don't do that, unless you've learned it many, many times, you don't have a clear halacha. You need to go back to it and put it together in an outline form that's logical and sort of is a logical progression, and then it becomes memorable. If you don't do that, it's very, very hard to remember the Mishneh Berurah. Because after all, it's like learning, it's a commentary. The second thing that a person needs to do on a regular basis is something that will inspire him, keep him inspired, keep him emotionally focused in Yiddishkeit, which we'll call Musar for the lack of any other word. And maybe it is Musar. learning Musa Sfarim every day b'Shapur brings as a chiyuv, and it's obvious. It doesn't need to have it. Does it require much? People don't have much time. Even if a person spends 5 or 10 minutes learning, even Mamari Chazal, but the way Musa was meant to be, you cut yourself off for 5-10 minutes. You sit and think about those words in a simple way, again and again. Let it sit on you. Let it kind of inspire you, and so that you have some emotional connection with it. The Chazon Ish used to point out that in his mind, davening should be providing that. Davening is the emotional connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are words that are meant to be very, very inspiring and poetic and arousing a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tefillah is. And therefore, he felt that the real place to get that from was from tefillah. Our problem is that we usually have a hard problem with tefillah. So it's sort of setting the cat to watch the cream kind of thing. It's not very productive for us. But to find some time in that framework to learn some sort of musa is very important. Now we get, so let's just throw out numbers. Let's say you spend 10, 15 minutes learning halacha every day. And the truth is you don't need to learn erevin. You need to learn the things that are nageya, and if you do it over a lifetime again and again, you become familiar with it. You spend 5-10 minutes learning musa, and a person still has, let's say, 40 minutes left. So now we come to the question, what should a person be learning? Let me put down 2 klolim.
Okay, yes. That is assuming an hour a day of learning. Huh?
Okay, about. Listen, if you don't have it, then the discussion is not, it's pointless, then we finish with that, and that's it. But assuming that we do have more time, what can a person learn? What should a person learn? So, the thing that will keep a person most in learning is something that he can see concrete results. I always use a mushal. If a person works and he saves up some money, if he keeps saving money, what inspires him is his bank book. He put aside $100 the first week, $100 the second week, $100 the third week, and so on. As the numbers grow, when he has $5,000, he doesn't look at the next $100 as $100. He looks at it as $5,100, $5,200. Success and, better said, accomplishment really inspires a person to do further. Cholas cholas is kosher, but when a person feels he's not a maschil, it inspires him to go further. So it can take different forms, and let me lay out 3 formats that can give a person a sense of accomplishment that will help inspire him to learn. One is if the person learns and accumulates knowledge. If you learn through a Masechta once, it's not, you don't remember it. And you don't have much incentive in the second Masechta. When you come after a long, tired day, and you've been learning 5 years, and you don't feel you're any wiser after having learned 5 years than you were before. There's nothing a person has to tell them, yeah, that's a good one, tinus, it's dollars on the base. This is that. Then a person does not have great incentive to keep moving forward. But let's say in 5 years a person has learned 250 blot, and he knows them. His learning was built with enough chazaris so that anytime a person mentions something, he says, yeah, it's a Gemara here. Gemara says, not like that. Or a person has an idea, and a Gemara with a similar idea pops into his head. That makes a person feel very good about it and inspires him to do more. When he has 250 blot in his account, and occasionally it makes use for it, and he can sit down sometimes and says, could you fill in, we're having a share in Tainus, and the guy says, oh, yes, I can do that. Not a problem. Or someone says a Gemara, and he says, you haven't said overwrite, or it's here. Or a person was thinking of an idea, and then if you know material, it sort of, the association pops into your head. Those are very, very strong tools of reinforcement. So for some people, learning, and this requires 2 things. It requires learning the original material at a pace and an amount of chazaras that can make you comfortable with the material. not to look at how much you've learned, but at how well are you reviewing it constantly, so that you know the material, that the material is familiar to you. Everybody knows the difference between a book that they read or a college course that they took, and they took tests and so on and so forth. They might forget it after college course, but when somebody talks about it, they're very familiar. They worked hard on it, they thought about it, they spoke about it, they reviewed it, they took tests on it. It does register. So if a person learns even Mishnayos, but he's built in like chazing it a dozen times, he learns it once and says over four or five times, and at the end of the week, 2 days are devoted to saying to reviewing everything in the week, and so on and so on. And it does a mesecht, he goes over it two or three times. And the person slowly accumulates that knowledge, but once he has a certain amount, he is very, very, he's thrilled with it. He actually knows something. He's a Talmid Chacham. So that is a type of thing that will appeal, that will work for a certain amount of people, and it will help him keep learning. A second thing is a person who is creative and he likes writing. So he learns a sugya, goes through it well, and some people just like to sort of structure and give over the sugya and sort of rewrite it just as like a book report. People like that. People have ideas, chidushim, kashas. They want to look into what Shuvah Svarim write, and they write up about issues that came out from this sugya, different approaches, and so on and so forth. That is a second way of doing it. A third way is when you're asked to teach other people. When you have to give a shir, it means you have to prepare. It means when you're saying it's very clear. It means that you feel strongly, there's a certain strong sense of accomplishment that I taught 50 blot or 20 blot or whatever it is, that also helps you very much focus. Those are three different ways. The bottom line is there's a tangible sense of accomplishment. My Shver Zechon Evracho is the Mir HaShiva, and used to push very much to learn at a quicker pace than Yeshiva was doing. And he once, he didn't usually explain himself, but he once told me, he said, a younger man misses out 3 days in Yeshiva, and he comes back, and he can't figure out what it is that he missed. Everybody seems to be in the same place he was before, and the same kashas are sloshing around. So he says to himself, you know what? Wouldn't hurt if I take another 3 days off. And if a person doesn't feel that the time accomplished something and it's staggered, it stacks up, and he can actually put one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another, it's hard to keep going. So that is a general sense about it. Of the things to learn, I cannot deny that the most important of it is Gemara. It shouldn't be exclusive. Mishnayos could work well for people. Other things work. The reason why Gemara is important is because a person can say to himself, listen, I'm not a Rav. I'm not practicing Rav. I'm not practicing the Dayan. I'm not practicing anything. What do I need to know Gemara for? Stick with Piskei Halacha and stick with other things, with Musar and so on. And the answer is, there are few aspects of it why it's so important. The first thing is the importance that something has in a person's life depends to which part of the person it is relating to. If Yiddishkeit deals with his hands and his feet but not with his mind at all, and if he's learning halacha lemaisa, so basically all he's doing is just learning instructions how to use his hands and feet, then it's not tofes the part in his neshama that is the primary point. Especially if a person is working at a profession that does demand seichel and das, a person is a lawyer and he's thinking all day long and writing and so on, a person is a scientist or whatever. What happens is, so almost automatically, if a person is not Osek in Torah to some degree with Seichel, it's relegated to a secondary status. And that's not good. Then the primary, the Das and the Seichel, the person are involved in law, and with his hands and his feet, he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So learning Gemara, which is when a person learns Halacha Maisa, yes, he's using his mind, but his mind as a footstool for the activities. It's an instruction booklet for how to take the Luvin Esrik. But when a person learns when the person is learning Gemara as Gemara, the person is using his das for this Avodas Hashem.
Maybe talking about more of an Ian type of learning, or
Truth is, we unfortunately have relegated the Gemara as not being Ian at any stage. The Gemara itself is to some degree an Ion simply because there's a Shakra Taya. What do we hold? What are we saying? What are we answering? Even when Outlook and us firm, the Gemara itself was meant to be a seichel, and a person who in his younger years especially learned, it automatically will be able to recast it in a more lamdish way, give over some sort of, the way he's tofis it will be with seichel. It's a thinking exercise. No matter, even if you learn it at a simple level, as long as you write and pshat. Secondly, it also affects being a Yiddish person. Thinking like a Yid should be a very primary aspect of being a Yiddish person. It's not something that, if your thought process is Yiddish in the sense, then the person himself is a Yiddish person. If a person is thinking like, doesn't have the thought and idea and sense of it, then something missing in the very ikur. Yes?
I'm not quite understanding what Rebbe means by thinking like what...
In other words, if a person comes to you and he says, okay, and the Torah commanded us to take palm fronds and citrons and this and that, and with the wave and some... You have a feeling that the person is an outsider. There's a famous thought question. I don't remember who formulated it, but it's very famous, and it goes along the following lines. It goes along, let's say, colors. We're all aware of the blue and the red and the yellow and so on and so forth. Colors can be translated in a way that a machine can pick it up. So, the thought experiment goes as follows. I take a person, lock him up in a black and white room since he's a young fellow. And as he gets older, I teach him, I say, listen, you see black and you see white. Yes. These are qualities of light, frequencies, absence of light, so on. There are different frequencies that have different effects. Let me teach you everything there is to know about different lights. If the light is of a certain frequency, it appears red. We'll call it red. If a certain frequency appears blue. Red has the following effect on people. It tends to make them alert. It tends to make them passionate and so on and so forth. It expresses passion. Blue is a type of color that has a calming effect. You would use it in a doctor's office. And you would not paint a doctor's office bright red and purple. And so on. And you give him all the information. And the person is sitting in a closed room and he has instruments that can measure light frequency and light waves. And has the ability to make all the decisions about colors that you as a person who has experienced colors can make, and he's doing it. Does he know what blue and red is or not? That was a famous thought question posed, and the point that it's driving at this thought experiment is, if you have an outside knowledge of something and not quite something that you experienced essentially, can you call that knowledge as well or not? That's kind of the direction. When a person performs mitzvahs in the world of Torah and mitzvahs, so the maisim are to a degree external, and a person can be doing everything, but if he doesn't quite understand it the way it is, he's lacking something in terms of his own identification with it. Somebody once came, and again, this is, I guess, something of the yeshiva world bias, but it has a lot. Somebody once came to a barrel, Salvechik Zonavracha. He was a yeshiva brisk, he was a chassidish abacha, and he was telling him a shtickle Torah on Kachim, in Zvachim. And he talked about the crane taking the pot full of blood and spilling it and dripping it, whatever it was. The words he was using, I said the word pot deliberately, he was using the common kitchen utensil translation of the Kli, Kahuna, and so on. And Rebel got very annoyed, and he said, there are no pots and pans in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a Kli, there's a Mazrek, there's a this, there's a that, there's a Kli Kibble, there's a Mazrek, and so on. In other words, don't think of it in terms of common day experience. It has its own dynamic, its own flavor, and so on. And that's what the chelik of Torah that's called Gemara, Talmud, is meant to do. By sort of getting into the thinking process, you're deharing it as an insider rather than an outsider. That's why there is a very important element to that. Obviously, it depends on time. The Chavetz Chaim, when he saw how little time people on the outside had to learn, he stressed learning the Rif rather than the Gemara. He felt the Rif would give him a better sense of the Halacha L'maisa, and that's why he went to great lengths to make a Rif on Kachim and so on. But if a person does have the time to do it, then it's a very important area to engage in. I want to explain also about the learning Gemara. What's the minimal level of learning Gemara? Or the Balatanya, when he speaks about the minimal chiyuvim of Talmud Torah, and the Balatanya is one of the few from that actually went through the halachas in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He goes through a lot of what are a person's minimal requirements, and his minimal requirement is knowing all the basic halachas of Torah Shabbal Peh, the basic machlokas and limut. In other words, if a person asks, you know, when a person steals something and the thing and the nigzal's misyayish, what's the din? And you to answer, it's a machlokas. Some hold it doesn't work at all. Some hold it works rabbanan because it's yisur l'asyadi, and some hold that it works even midaraisa because it's learned from, it's similar to Shinui. That's the basic requirement of knowing Torah, that I know the halachos that came down through the Talmud to us. So a person finishes a sugya, he needs to recap it and say to himself, okay, the sugya's topic is X, the bottom line is there's a machlokas about it, these are the two shitas, and this is the reasoning that either says in the Gemara, pairs to be emes, and so on. That's sort of a minimal take on Gemara. That's why he explains it. At first it might seem disappointing, someone who spent time in yeshiva learning, and he was learning with all Rishonim, Achronim, and Kashas, and Terutzim, and this and that, and this is kind of just okay. But unfortunately we have to understand it's just like a person who's gone from living, a person was living in a mansion, a 38-room mansion somewhere, and then he needed to move to downsize and move to a regular house. He needs to understand how to prioritize what he's taking with him. To take with him a couch that fills up a room in its own is silly. You know, we all learned in yeshivas, and we were to some degree matzliach to get a very 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 big geshmak in learning, and we enjoy it. Anything else seems to us not emes, not real. But there's a long line from having the Gemara down. This is the point. These are the machlokas. This is the reason the Gemara gives, and this is how I understand the Gemara's reason. Is the basic chiyuv, and I think it's a davar. It's very miskabel. And if a person has it, and a person has it enough so that he remembers it reasonably well, a person feels a real sense of accomplishment. So basically what I'm saying as far as learning goes, there is it's important to halacha l'maaseh, it's important to learn. I unfortunately haven't been good at giving a great solution for it. And the best way, ideally, is if a person has enough background before he gets into it, before he has to do just the halacha ma'aseh, the person knows the masechta so that the topics and the underlying background information is familiar to him. So that's the ideal. If not, I think I went through a different sfarim, their pluses and their minuses. I also personally find it very difficult to look at kitsurim for the reason that I personally find it difficult to assimilate information that's bits and pieces where you don't have a sweeping background. The fact that I know at the end of the day the person, it's all the person's decisions, even if it's all chumris, which is very nice maybe, but it's still the person's decisions and it's not really the halacha. So I personally feel frustrated those, but they do exist and it's another option. Learning some sort of Musa, Yerushalayim, whatever it is important, simply to remind the person himself that there's Ribbono Shel Olam and the Machabos HaBolamo. The person needs to remind himself, and he needs to take snippets of Chazal, which is really what Musa was about, and to spend 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes is a lot, and to sort of focus on it and say to himself, I work hard, I do many things over the day, I struggle with many things. There's one purpose I was brought into this world, and that's to accomplish, to struggle with nisyonos, and to come ahead of the game. And just that reminder in different Lashon Chazal, in different ways, in different inyanim, whether it's emes or kedusha or kas or whatever it is, that's a minimal. And if the person has a little more time, first has some time to learn Gemara, simply because that is the content of Torah. And especially for us, it's one thing when people were balagolas and they worked hard physically all day, very hard physically, and they didn't have any other intellectual occupations. So fine, so okay, you know, he's a simple balagola, he's a simple Jew. But if a person is a highly sophisticated professional and a simple Jew, then the Jew becomes, in his mind, Judaism becomes simpleton, not simple. It's kind of, if the person doesn't, if he can't associate with it in Das and in Seichel, he has a real problem with it. So learning through Gemara, finding a level that he's comfortable with, that he's able to cover, that he's able to reasonably remember enough material, remember the material enough that he feels actually gained and accomplished, and learning to sort of structuring what he learned. The Gemara has the same, I shouldn't say Gemara has the same problem as the Mishnah Berurah, I'm sure it has the same problem as the Gemara. Anytime you're learning something that's not structured, like Gemara or like Mishnah Berurah, the problem is that you have a hard time afterwards figuring out the bottom line of it. So a person needs to, on a very simple level, just to bring on the bottom line. This is the point of the sugya, this is the shaila. The Gemara remains unresolved. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. And these are the points that the Gemara said where it's not nogea. It's not nogea in such a case, not nogea in such a case, not nogea in such a case. And what the halach is has remained unresolved. That's a nekuda of Torah. And so on. Those were the two. So I wanted to emphasize, from last, where we spoke last week, the two points I wanted, I'd worked on was, the first one was about the understanding that a productive lifestyle is very, very important, and it's a yesod in everything afterwards. How seriously you take Torah, how seriously you take HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how seriously you take everything else starts with your physical life. If the world is serious and you take your work seriously, you'll take a lot of other things seriously. I also think it's very important for kids. Kids should not get, they should learn a very important aspect of chinuch is a job well done is something to be proud of. If cleaning up the room is what you're supposed to do, then cleaning it up well, you should be proud of it. It's not learning anything, it's just a waste of time, or let the Shvatzer do it. Those are very bad attitudes. Light money, light life, is like it says by Avraham Avinu in Aram Narayim. They obviously had somebody that supported them. I mean, it's hard to keep eating and drinking without anybody supporting. So they didn't have a financial problem. He didn't say they were stealing, but a light lifestyle is not... It is putting down a very bad foundation for future chinuch, and that's one thing we said on about the learning. We went through some nekudos that to the best of my understanding of what it's important and what could help motivate a person. Yes, Phyllis.
Quick question about Balatanya.
Yeah.
Since the Balatanya saying somebody learned Gemara and they understood it, but they didn't walk away with remembering what the machlokas is, and they didn't come away with the maskenal halacha, so they're really not yotzei Talmud Torah?
I'm not sure on that count. No, the Balatanya is sort of going on the Rambam. The Rambam says there's a chiyah for a person to learn through all of Torah, and then he should be osek in Gemara, which is the Havana of Torah and so on and so forth. I'm not sure if the so he's saying that learning through all of Torah. What does it mean through all Torah Shabbat Peh? I mean, does Torah Shabbat Peh include from Gemara till the latest Chiddushim book that has come out? Where does Torah Shabbat Peh, the minimal chiyah of Torah Shabbat Peh? So that he seems to say is the basic machlokes of the Talmudic eras, the basic pieces of knowledge, I guess, that we have from that era. I guess that's the way I would put it. He says, like, the most of the limudim that we have in Torah's Kohanim. In other words, this is the din, this is what it says. And it's a machlokes, we learn it, or we learn it from here, or it's an iboy lifshan, and so on and so forth. That seems to be the way he understood it. Just sort of using it as a guide to understanding what it means to have learned up something. Okay.